This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, we'll continue talking about markets this morning as we hear from Arlen Suderman. Arlen is a chief commodities economist for INTL FC Stone, and I asked him to give us an overview and a recap of how things are going for the first trading week of 2017.
This week's trading, a lot of movement in the prices, not necessarily all of it about supply and demand. First of all, next week is index fund portfolio rebalancing, and what that basically means is these index funds made up of 17 to 25 different commodities. All of them have a desired weighting of what percent that commodity should be of the total basket or the total mix. Over the past year, some commodities like soybeans have rallied significantly and are now overweighted, need to be sold to get back to their desired level. Other commodities like wheat have lost a lot of ground, need to be bought to be brought back up, and corn's in that same category. So traders are positioning for that, kind of buying some corn and some wheat and selling soybeans. We're generally seeing weather become a bigger picture, a bigger factor in South America as well. Pretty good conditions in Brazil, getting dry in the northern half of the belt, particularly as we get in the late last half of January. The crop, though, is maturing, so the impact on yields is not as significant as what it would have been maybe a few weeks earlier. Argentina had been dry. Now it's excessively wet, so rain makes grain, but in some cases it's excessive. Overall, I think we're probably looking at some net losses in corn and soybeans, modestly so. But traders trying to put all that together and try to position themselves with USDA crop report next week as well.
You know, yesterday, or it would have been Wednesday, we saw a really big increase in the soybeans. And I know you just mentioned it's not all about supply and demand. There are a lot of factors. But as for Wednesday's numbers, what was the cause of that, if you have any idea of what that was?
Well, when we get in these kind of conditions, a lot of times traders, and particularly the fund managers, will just depend on chart signals. And as we look at that March soybean contract, which is now the lead active contract, it had tracked down to the bottom of a channel that's held this market largely for much of 2016, now going into 2017, and particularly, especially through the summer months, summer and fall months. So it bounced off of that level of support. When that support held, we saw a lot of speculative money coming back into the market, pulling back a little bit today, though, as they realize maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves.
As we are moving forward in the new year, farmers are selling some of their grain that they had in the bins. Are the rallies going to continue? Is it hard to say what the trends are going to be? Or any advice for farmers as we start this new marketing year?
We'll probably settle into a little bit more of a pattern once we get past next week's USDA crop report, readjusting the fundamentals, giving us a better picture of South America, and we'll be getting deep enough into the month of January that we start to have a little better feel for the weather patterns there and how they're going to impact production. Weather in South America, I think, is going to be critical. Demand for soybeans remains robust. So far, the supply with the big record U.S. crop and now looking like a decent South American crop, although it's a little bit early yet, has still been sufficient to meet that demand. But if we see any hiccups in the weather of significance, that could create a lot of excitement in the soybean market. Otherwise, we continue to track along and kind of in this price range. On the corn side, we've got abundant supplies of corn in China and the United States. The rest of the world, maybe not so much, adequate to get us by. So what happens in Southern Hemisphere? Most major producers of the Southern Hemisphere have significant increases in acreage this year. So if the weather continues to be favorable, they increase their supply and increase our competition on the export market, and that's going to pressure prices. On the other hand, if we see a major weather problem develop, as some forecast models suggest in Brazil in particular, then we could see things tighten up once again, more export business coming our way, and start to draw down the surplus supplies that we have. Over on the wheat side, we've just got too much of it. More of it needs to get in the feed bunk, not just domestically, but globally. That's going to be a problem. I think for the near term, we're probably well supported. Longer term, though, without any major weather problems, I think wheat could actually make some new lows.
Kind of switching the conversation now from the grain side to livestock, we have seen a little bit of ups and downs with those prices as well. maybe not as big as what we've been seeing this week with the grain. Is there anything that could trigger those prices to move drastically, or thoughts there?
Well, I think there's a couple significant developments. First of all, we went through the time period, November, December, record pork slaughter, record hog slaughter, over 2.5 million per week for a number of weeks. We had never done that before. So we were throwing a lot of meat at the wholesale level into the retail level. We finally started to see beef prices at the same time go down to reflect what the producer had been receiving. That combined with dramatically improved consumer sentiment over November and December appears to have strengthened the demand for meat at the showcase. And as a result, at a time with all this meat being dumped on the market, as we look at the cold storage report, beef supplies dropped just a little bit in December. Pork supplies dropped dramatically, even with this big supply. So while we're producing a lot of meat right now, the encouraging thing is that we're also consuming it. The strong dollar has made exports difficult, but the domestic consumer has been picking up the game and starting to consume more. We're still in danger of overexpanding on the hog side, but overall we have stabilized prices with that strengthening demand.
Once again, that market update comes from Arlen Suderman, a chief commodities economist for INTL FC Stone. In other news, outgoing USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack is expected to become the next president and CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council when he leaves office later this month. Vilsack has not confirmed the plans, but a source familiar with his intentions told AgriPulse that Vilsack will take the place of Tom Suber, who retired at the end of the year from the council. The U.S. Dairy Export Council is funded by checkoff revenue to track and promote U.S. dairy products. Vilsack says that until he leaves his post at USDA, he's focused on his current job with several items to get across the finish line. He says he has nothing currently to say about life after the administration. Vilsack has publicly spoken previously, however, regarding his interest in working in farm policy once he leaves the USDA. Looking at a little bit of world ag news now, ChemChina and Syngenta were issued an extension by European Union antitrust regulators to comply with the regulators' request. The EU has extended the deadline for a decision on ChemChina's proposed buy of Swiss group Syngenta by 10 working days to April 12th, according to Reuters. Syngenta said in a statement the two companies had asked for the extension to allow sufficient time for the discussion of remedy proposals. The European Commission opened the investigation into state-owned ChemChina's $43 billion bid in October, saying the companies had not alleviated concerns over the deal. Syngenta said in a statement the two companies remain fully committed to the transaction and are confident of its closure. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.